You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show. Today on the James Altucher Show.
So in part one, which was also available today, we learned about the potential for copywriting, and we learned Anna's story and so on. But now in part two, we dive a lot more deeply into the techniques and skills required and what you need to know and what you need to learn. It's not that hard, to be honest, to be a great copywriter and make millions of dollars. So now I want to start getting into the specific techniques, how to build these stories and how to create these types of offers, what else to include in these, whether they're letters. By the way, sometimes they're letters, sometimes it's script for videos, or sometimes it's a script for a webinar. It takes all sorts of forms. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of products being sold using copywriting techniques. And typically, at least in the universe I've seen, copywriters tend to get 3% of the overall sales. So if somebody's selling a product and they have a nice big email list and they do Facebook ads or whatever, and they sell $60 million worth, which I've seen projects do, the copywriter makes like $1.8 million. So this is very lucrative. If you just stumble on one good product, you get rich. And so if your copywriting is good combined with the product.
Yep.
So there's two areas where I've seen people talk about this, and I'm not a professional copywriter. I don't really know how to do it, but there's two directions I've seen people talk about. One is what I'm going to call the six U's. In your copywriting letter, you have to describe the urgency of this mm-hmm. offer, like why this is important now, like in your example.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Grandmother just had a grandchild, and now it's urgent that she solves the problem. So she becomes a favorite grandmother. And then there's that's so urgency. Then there's uniqueness. Why is this solution unique? Because otherwise I can just buy something off the shelf or whatever. You have to describe why and how it's useful, which is obvious. And then you have to be ultra specific, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. So like our app knows where you are, your credit card is preloaded, you hit a button and a car shows up in 4 to 5. This is just an example. I don't know if that's good, but that was an example of Uber. User-friendly. So you have to make it as easy as possible for someone to say yes. Like, and Anna, like you were just saying, like a money-back guarantee or a giveaway, or you're offering something that's clearly of much greater value than people are paying. So it has to be very user-friendly. And then unquestionable proof. So
that's super important. Yeah.
Testimonials and or maybe authority, like Dr. Oz had me on the show, and or testimonials, like here's Sandy S, from Boston, Massachusetts, tried this and lost 87 pounds in so many weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
So those are the six U's. Or there's kind of Robert Cialdini's stuff, which is mm-hmm. Reciprocity, which is mm-hmm. likability. Answering all objections, authenticity, stuff like that.
Yeah. I lean more toward the Robert Cialdini as far as like what I've studied, and I actually wasn't familiar with those six U's, but I love it. I was starting to take notes, and I totally agree with all of those. And I think they're all incredibly important. So a lot of what, most of the most successful copywriters are doing, it's very similar, and then everybody's putting their own framework around it, right? Their own spin on it. But all this goes back to is human psychology, right? What is going to prompt us to take an action? What are these universal buying triggers?
So because Robert Cialdini's been on the podcast, let's just go through his six principles of persuasion and how you use them for copywriting. So his first one is reciprocity.
So people are more inclined to give when they've also received. So you want to give something of value. And this is where, you know, all these online launches come into play. Like Jeff Walker obviously created the product launch formula. And, you know, you'll see people doing these informative videos, and they might do a series of videos, and then they're asking for the sale. And that, I mean, he has a whole concept. Obviously, I don't want to step on Jeff Walker's toes and start teaching his material. But he talks about the sideways sales letter, where basically, like, his whole formula is predicated on you take the traditional long form sales letter, like your old school copywriter would write, and you kind of turn it on its side and chop it up into pieces. And those are the videos that you're releasing. And then you open up the offer. So all the way along, you're giving this value. So that's reciprocity is, you know, we want to give.
How do you get people to watch the videos?
Well, that is a great question. And a question that a lot of people are thinking about now, especially when there's a lot more content available. So I personally think that strategy worked better a couple of years ago, and actually doing things live in real time versus produced videos now. So you can take the same messaging, but actually be live for it and create a sense of community around it. I think that's much more effective. That's what we're seeing as far as, you know, the launches that are the most successful.
So in these videos, it might be like a lot of education about weight loss or
yes,
financial stuff. So you're, that's how you're giving something, like before you get into the details of what you're offering. And then I don't even understand this Cialdini one. The next principle of persuasion is commitment or consistency. Like, how do you bring that into copywriting?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about a webinar script, which is basically a form of a sales letter that someone's speaking out on a video, right? You're teaching. So that's some reciprocity during the webinar. And then this consistency and commitment, you're getting the yeses along the way. So this is the idea of, this is where people started offering tripwires. You know, like someone joins your email list and they hit the thank you page and you have a, hey, here's a little $7 thing. And if you can get them to opt in immediately, they now identify themselves as a customer. And so they're going to be likely to, when you come out with a $47 thing, oh, I love James. James, I buy James's stuff. I'm a customer of James. Cool. Let me look at this. They're going to look at it more intently. So in, let's say, a webinar script, consistency, you're getting the yeses throughout. So for example, if I'm writing a webinar script for a client, I'm going to say something like, before we get into the teaching part of it, I'm going to say something like, you know, I have a problem. I have 2 decades of experience in this area and I have 60 minutes with you. So that's an issue. I obviously can't tell you what I've spent 20 years learning. I'm being my hypothetical client, what I've spent 20 years learning in 60 minutes, but I'm going to make you a promise. And that promise is that I'm going to tell you everything I can about these 3 points. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to go deeper with this work and to come into a program with me. Does that sound good? Type a 1 in the comments if that sounds good. And then they're saying, yeah, that sounds good. And so you've just gotten their commitment that they're on board to hear that pitch at the end, so that when you make it, it doesn't feel like it's like, wait a second, a bait and switch. And I think so many people have watched webinars by now that everybody knows a pitch is coming. But it can feel a little dicey when people transition from the value and the reciprocity part to the offer if you haven't set it up along the way. So that's commitment and consistency.
This reminds me of there's something called the Benjamin Franklin technique. So Benjamin Franklin, when he was a young guy, he was in the Pennsylvania State Assembly, and there was an older guy who didn't like him. And so Benjamin Franklin asked this guy, the older guy, hey, I know you have a big book collection. Can I borrow this XYZ book? And the guy was a little surprised and said, sure, here's the book. And then Benjamin Franklin returned it a week later. I don't even know if he read it or not. And then after that, the guy was never voted against Benjamin Franklin, because the idea is he's thinking, I am the type of person who gives Benjamin Franklin things.
Yeah.
And that was the commitment and consistency. Okay, the next Cialdini principle is social proof.
Well, okay, no-brainer. Testimonials, you know, those screenshots, if you have, you know, DMs from people, this changed my life, XOXO, you know, putting those all on the sales letter, or video case studies where, I mean, you've seen some big offers. They'll fly camera crews into some of their big transformational case studies homes, and they'll have them sharing. I bought, this is funny, I bought a like a hip hop dance academy, largely online, like dance academy, largely because they featured this like middle-aged lawyer, like learning how to hip hop dance. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm a middle-aged ex-lawyer. This is for me. So that can be really huge.
Yeah. And then related to this is authority.
Yes. So authority, you know, when you see a sales page and it's got those as featured in, you know, as featured on The Oprah Show, Dr. Oz, obviously those are huge authority builders. But also you can have authority in any kind of niche, you know, so your authority, if you're doing something local, may be in your local community, but something to show that you have set yourself apart as a leader in whatever you're professing that you're an expert in.
And then the next one is liking.
Liking. So, of course, being relatable, as I said, when you're talking about your case studies, your meet the mentor section of your sales page, being relatable and revered. So being relatable.
So like kind of maybe even self-deprecating a little bit, or just saying that you've been there also, that you've been where the reader is at some point.
Right. So there's not a shield between you and that person that you're speaking to. There's not a mask on, that there's a level of approachability. And when you combine that likability with the authority, that's very, very attractive.
And this is critical. This last one is kind of interesting for digital products for various reasons, but scarcity, which is, you know, you have to say, hey, act now because we only have 100 left, but that's not believable with a digital product.
Right. And it's so bad when people try to do that with digital, yeah. Like it's going away soon. You're like, it literally could be infinitely produced. So
yeah.
That can be actually really damaging if you're using it incorrectly. So scarcity, I sometimes see scarcity and urgency as sisters, right? So in something digital, I'm going to lean much more heavily on urgency than scarcity. So the urgency of, hey, this has a hard deadline. So yeah, I mean, we could produce millions of copies, but we're only going to hold this open until Friday, and then we'll open it again next year. But scarcity, you know, that is a trickier one with digital. And sometimes people will have maybe, let's say, a VIP tier where, you know, you're getting some sort of actual virtual one-on-one support from either the mentor themselves or a team of coaches that they've hired. And that's where you can bring in scarcity. Like, we really do have 20 spots in this cohort. And, you know, that's the bandwidth that we have to serve. So when those are gone.
I see other techniques that I feel are important too, like answer all objections. So
yeah.
in the letter or yeah. the webinar or whatever, you have to kind of answer the potential objections before they're raised. Obviously, there's objections to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But what's an example of answering objections that's above and beyond?
I tell my clients that almost all questions are actually objections disguised as questions. So for example, when's the call schedule for this program? It's like, well, why is that person asking that? Are they thinking, I'm only going to say yes to this program if the calls are convenient in my schedule? That could potentially be an objection. Oh, I don't have Thursdays at noon free, so maybe this isn't for me. So you want to be thinking through, how can I disarm that objection? So, hey, the calls are on Thursdays at noon and they're all recorded. And if you can't make it, you can always ask your question before, and I will answer it live. You don't have to be present to get your questions answered. And we have a robust online community where I'm answering questions daily between calls. So while we love for you to be on the calls, it's just an added value, and you're going to get the full value of the program even if you can't attend live. Another huge one that comes up in online products is, how long will this take me to complete? And if you just answer that outright, you're kind of screwed because you don't know what that person's potential objection is based off that question alone, but they probably have an objection. They're probably either thinking, ooh, I want the most, like I'm a learner. This better be filled with lots of videos and worksheets, and I want to feel like I'm getting like all the stuff. Or they could be thinking, I'm super busy. If this person can't give me the solution in 8 hours or less, I'm not interested in this program. So if you just dive in and answer that outright without kind of pre-framing and addressing both of those objections, let's say in your FAQ section of your sales page, like, FAQ, how long will this take me to complete? You know, well, you want to disarm their objections rather than just saying you can expect to spend 2 to 3 hours a week on this program.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, of course, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like, to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long and both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop, really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James.
amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
All right. And then really important question is, so this kind of provides the framework of, you know, what a good copywritten letter or webinar or video is. And then there's other stuff like, you know, should it be long, small? There's a lot of subtleties here. There's things called lift letters. There's all this stuff. But how does someone get into the business? Like, I have 2 daughters. I want them to watch this video and quit their jobs and become copywriters. Like how to, like after assuming they learn the techniques and so on, which we've sort of outlined here, how does someone actually get into the business and become a copywriter?
Yeah. So I think it is important that someone at least likes writing, but to your point, I don't think you need to have a ton of formal training. In fact, some of the best copywriters on the planet, you know, have high school educations, didn't go to college. So I don't think, you know, I would encourage people not to get wrapped up in, you know, oh, well, I didn't major in English, doesn't matter. But it is a skill set. So I would say you want to start reading books like Robert Cialdini's Influence. You want to understand these psychological buying triggers. And then Ray Edwards was my copywriting mentor.
What's
his
name?
Ray? Ray Edwards. Yeah. So he wrote some stuff for Tony Robbins. He's written for a lot of the big online industry peeps. And so I joined a year-long apprenticeship with Ray to really like say, hey, you know, I want to invest in this training. I want to get that mentorship and that guidance from someone who has built, you know, and charges $150,000 for a sales letter. I want to get that mentorship directly from that person. So that would be, you know, I think it's like the old school apprenticeship, you know, finding someone who's done it and getting in with them.
But how do I find a client or a job doing this?
A copywriting client?
Yeah.
So I say that the copywriting business is relationships and referrals. So once you feel confident that you're ready to take on a client, you start telling people, I am a copywriter. I write words that sell. And all businesses need copy. So when you know that you can provide value for a client and you will just start saying it, name it and claim it. I'm a copywriter. I can help you sell your offers. And how I did it was, which is, you know, that's the way I know how to do it, right? Because that's how I did it, was I was willing to take jobs at a low cost first. But then as soon as I saw that I was producing real life results and I could get that social proof, of course, that built my own confidence because I don't want to charge people money if I'm not actually getting them results. But as I saw, oh, I charged them, you know, like one of the first launches I wrote for, I charged $3,000, $3,200 to write the launch. A launch copy is a lot of copy. And she made $60,000, right? So immediately it's like, oh, okay. Like I need to charge more for this.
Well, what was that course?
It was called Chakra Girl Business School.
Wow. So she was using some kind of Eastern philosophy to give you, to be successful in business. And so she was teaching a course on that or a newsletter or?
Yeah, it was like a group coaching program where she was, and I believe still runs it, you know, was helping people align, like mixing the business training with the energetics. And my mom's a yoga teacher. I taught yoga for 13 years. So I felt very aligned. Oh, cool. This is interesting. Like, you know, this is an interesting way of blending the business with the energetic practices.
All right. And so what's like another way? Like I would think, you know, if it was let's say my daughter wanted to be a copywriter, and let's say again she somehow learned the skill set, you know, beyond what we discussed here. I think we just kind of outlined the skill set here, and there's more nuances about mm-hmm. the whole business. But now she wants to find a client. Is one way, like, maybe she could cold email like copywriting ideas to a business, or you know, I guess you could see what emails you're getting, because those people are hiring copywriters, and if it's not a good copywritten letter, you can write back and say, look, give me a try, I'll do it for free, but give me 2% yep. of sales or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, one strategy is to actually go to a business that you want to write for, you know, actually see what they're doing. Okay. And then write an email for them that you then send to them. Hey, I love what you're doing. I believe in your mission. I think I can, you know, obviously there's a way to do this with tact and not sound condescending, but like, I would love to help you improve your copywriting. I took the liberty of writing this email. I would love for you to, you know, feel free. It's yours for free. Send it to your list. If it works for you, I'd love to talk about how I can support you further.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's the giving mm-hmm. and no one, let's say they just take it and make a ton of money and give you nothing. It's no problem, because at yes. the very least, it's an example of your work and the results. And B, they're probably going to, everybody wants their business to do well. And if they weren't, if their prior copywriting wasn't doing well and yours works, they definitely are going to have more products, and they're going to want to use your copy for more. I remember, and most, by the way, most traditional businesses have no clue about copywriting at all. It's just like me when I first heard these guys talking about copywriting. They wanted to be born yes. as copywriters. I hadn't even know I no clue. Because I remember one time I published a book, this was like 10 years ago, where the publisher wrote a letter to their email list, and they had like 1 million people on their list. But they did, now in retrospect, looking at that letter, they made every mistake you could possibly make. Like they just described the book. They actually had a break where you had to like click to another page to finish reading, and that's really bad, because it gives people an opportunity to just not click.
No way. Yeah.
Any friction at all is mm-hmm. bad. And so most traditional businesses have no clue. But I wouldn't necessarily pitch a traditional business, because they still have no clue. But I would pitch the businesses that know copywriting is important. So like this chakra person knew she yeah. wasn't going to beat a traditional business, so she needed copywriting to succeed. And she probably had an email list for whatever reason.
Yes.
And or like an investment newsletter is a great example. I don't know if these still are around, but like dating, you know, pickup tricks like yeah. those, or and definitely diet or other nutritional stuff, like, you know, these are special brain foods are good for your brain and whatever, like those
yes.
those nutritional stuff. Like I think there was a saying like get rich, get laid, lose weight are like the three verticals where yeah. copywriters are successful.
And then also sometimes the hobby niche, like really weird kind of niches, but that have like a cult like following, like knitting, or, you know, back in the day, scrapbooking, you know, some of those like can really sell a lot online. And the people who are doing things digitally and understand the value of copywriting are, as you say, great people to pitch to, because they already have a desire and a demand for that skill. And it's a lot easier to just take something to someone that they already desire than to try to drum up the desire and demand. That being said, I have clients that we've certified through my copywriting certification who have just pitched to local businesses. One in particular I'm thinking of, she pitched to a doctor. There was a doctor that she thought was just doing great things, you know, and with everything that's going on right now. And so she just said, hey, I just got my copywriting certification. I love what you're doing. If you ever need support, I would love to be, you know, to be someone who could help you. And funny enough, they were, you know, inundated with requests and absolutely needed support. And that turned into, you know, long-term consulting gig for her.
And now I also, if you're a great copywriter, you could create your own products and sell them.
Yes.
And you could build your list with like cheap Facebook ads and do some giveaway. Like, here's my free 61 tips for weight loss. And that builds your free email list, with everybody who downloads it gives their email
yep.
address. And then you write your higher end product, your more expensive product. That was a free giveaway. Then you have a more expensive product that now you're able to send a copywritten letter to your list that you built by giving something away for free.
Yes. And that is, so how I transitioned out of law, I built my first six figures just writing for other people. But then to scale up from there, I created my own stuff. So yes, I could still make money writing for other people, but I also, you know, that it is, I will say, it's pretty energy and time intensive to write great copy because you need to really understand that market. You need to understand the voice of that business owner. But beyond that, you need to also understand the voice of that client's potential clients. So it's not the hardest nut to crack, but it definitely requires some focus and some energy and some intensity. And so as I had built up the first six figures while I was, you know, practicing law still full-time, just wrote copy mornings, nights, and weekends, then I thought, you know, I'd like to have a little more time back. So I created my own offers. And then those could be leveraged. So we had one that was $997. We have one, you know, it's $3,000. And eventually I scaled up and, you know, did a $30,000 mastermind. But that created, you know, also multiple streams of revenue too. Because, you know, you talk a lot about, you don't want to ever have one person who's kind of like making the financial decisions for you, where if they get ticked off, you know, you're screwed. That's not a good situation to be in. And I even saw that in law, like a firm, you know, that leans too heavily on one big client is in a precarious position. So I always wrote for a handful of copywriting clients. And then I have my own offers, low ticket, medium ticket, high ticket, so that, you know, if one thing goes away, cool, there's other things to step in and have that buffer.
And now, for people who want to know more, one of the reasons I was interested in talking to you is you teach copywriting also. Like, so how do people find your course? And I'll mention this in the intro as well, but how do people find your course and learn more about copywriting? I think we hit a lot of great details and I really appreciate it because I know you teach this for a living also. So, but like, how do people find your course so they can learn more?
Yeah. So they can go to sarahannapowers.com/certify. So my Sarah has no H on the end, sarahannapowers.com/certify. And they can find out details about the certification. If we're open, they can jump in. And if we are, you know, closed, we'll be opening again and they can get on our priority notification list.
And why do people need certification? So they'll learn. I'm assuming they learn all the skills.
Yeah.
And then once they're through the program, you certify them.
Yep.
And why is the certification an issue?
Three reasons. One, there's a level of authority that comes with that. When you can tell a client, hey, I actually invested and got trained and got certified, because I do actually personally review the copy of everyone who certifies through us. Hmm. So we keep those cohorts really small and intimate so that they do get my actual stamp of approval. And I do a 12 calls within a 2-month period where I'm really digging deep with those writers to make sure that they can get clients results. So that's an authority builder when they can list, you know, our seal on their website.
Right.
Then I mentioned that one of the best ways to get started in this business, in my opinion, is relationships and referrals. So in my own company, I still write done for you copy for clients, but we have a lot more requests than I can personally fulfill on. So right now, you know, we're recording in September. I'm booking for January, you know, so there's a lot of requests that come into our company that I can't personally handle. So I pass those on to our certified writers. So it can be a really great way for them to jumpstart and get, you know, lots of our writers. I can send them referrals that more than make back their investment in the training. And then the third is you just want to master the skills. And so I've been doing this professionally for a number of years. I've gotten really great results for our clients. And so they can have the chance, just like I learned from Ray, you know, they can learn from me. And I've actually done this in the real world and continue to do it in the real world. So it's not just theory.
Wow. I'm definitely going to show this to my kids and see if they
line
up. We'll see if they're motivated.
I'm honored.
Anna Powers, thanks so much for giving us the lowdown on copywriting. I've personally seen many people make millions of dollars using copywriting, and it's not like something I've sought out to find, but I see these people do really well. Like, and it's from scratch. Like you say, you don't need like a degree in it or anything like that. You need to just understand these principles, be well taught, try it a few times and get better and better. And then you'll have eventually some bonanza product that you've sold millions of dollars worth, and it might be your product, it might be someone else's, but you'll make a ton of money. This is not like a side hustle. This is like a way to build wealth. So, Anna, thanks a lot. And Heck, maybe I'm going to have to call you for, you've convinced me, I'm going to have to call you for some copywriting now.
I would be honored. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a total pleasure.
Thank you, Anna. Bye.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.